You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Little holiday cheer in the air. I still feel good. Still feel like a champion because I am one. What's going on, CP?
What's the deal with you, Mr. Sussman? How's everything going this morning?
All good, my man. All good. What about you? It's weird. This is the first Wednesday in 17 weeks that I have no waivers.
No, yeah, you're right about that. There's no waivers to run, and it's no game coming up tomorrow.
You're not
going
to be setting your lineup for 2 hours?
No, I'm not going to be setting my lineup this morning. I'll be doing something else.
Ordering a Gucci Garoppolo jersey.
Yeah. That's on the docket for this morning.
I want his jersey, but on the back I want it to say Gucci.
Yeah. That's the one. That's the one we're looking for.
Oh God, enjoy that. What's going on, Matt? Hold on, clean shaven, Matt.
Oh yes, it feels good. As I told Mike Florio on Twitter, I was like, "Ashy Larry." It's no way. But I think the Christmas miracle of 2017. Is the fact that Ted Ginn is still alive.
Ted Ginn is alive and well. I'd like to make that very clear. Ted Finn Jr. is also alive and well, somehow.
Amazingly, yeah, Ted Finn made it through the season.
He did it.
Look how dirty that water is.
You can't kill him.
No.
It's like biohazard. Like no. He can live through anything.
Ted Finn is a nuclear fish.
Well, you change the water every couple of weeks. How much are you supposed to change the water?
I think once a week.
All right, so... We're due to change the water again.
Well, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, no, I noticed that. The person that does isn't here for...
Yeah, that's above my pay...
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I've co-changed it twice.
Co-changed it twice, too.
So do we co-change it together?
We can do that today, later on, if you want to.
Okay.
We should have the king come in like once a week.
That'd be nice.
He loves Ted Finn. We get to see him.
Yeah, you know, if he wants to do that, he can certainly do that. So on the show today, we're gonna talk about negatives, some of the players that let you down. We had such a celebration yesterday. I didn't want to bring the mood down by talking about any of these players that really hurt you during championship week. Not necessarily all season long, but particularly championship week. And I know that, Matt, whenever I bring this up, you're always like, listen, I get it, it's fair, but you have to get there first. And you know, if you didn't have player X, who we'll get to, you might not have been here. So you can't kill a guy this week. But, you know, some of these guys that you have counted on all season long were a disaster in Week 16. So we're going to talk about that throughout the program today. I want to hear also throughout the show today what players really let you down on your fantasy teams. You can let us know throughout the next 2 hours here at 844-843-6879. We're also going to hit you with the major headlines coming up here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on the Roto Experts. And we'll take the break, and we'll come back. And Corey, we're so used to all this disruption and all this craziness surrounding the New York Jets. It's always that it's dysfunctional organization. When did the Giants become the Jets? Where players are calling each other cancer.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I know you do. We'll get into that, and we'll talk about how they changed that and what's going on with the New York Football Giants when we return here on the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Matt, would you like to shake your lips and your chest out like some other people we know?
I don't know what I did to my neck last night when I was sleeping for those 4 hours or so. Right. But I can't even, like, move. So
yeah.
I'm like the anti-Mick Jagger.
I went to the gym and I think just hurt my groin at some point, and now I'm struggling to walk. There you go. The Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network here. And so yesterday afternoon, I guess the big story in football today. Yesterday afternoon, Landon Collins goes on ESPN Radio in New York. And this isn't like some misquote or...
But he said basically what Matt Modica has been saying for the last month on this show or Frenzy. I've been pretty much... Whatever he said, I echoed
that. I don't think it was just you that was saying this, for sure. I think anyone with any sort of knowledge of the Giants was saying this. Well, in that... He was asked the question, ultimately... You know, what changes for the New York Giants defense? Like, what has gone wrong this year, and what gets better? And he basically says, listen, DRC's my boy. Jack Rabbit's my boy. Those guys are awesome. But there's one guy that needs to go, and he's a cancer to this locker room, and you all know who I'm talking about. And for some reason, Bob Wischusen didn't follow up on that question, which was mind-boggling to me. But...
He wasn't listening. Mm-hmm. If he didn't follow up on that, it's because he wasn't listening.
He literally just said okay and then moved on. And I was like, whoa. But that was the, you know, that piece went viral yesterday as ultimately Eli Apple caused the cancer by Landon Collins. Now, here's what we know about Eli Apple. 10th overall pick a couple years ago when the Giants completely effed up the draft. Could have taken Laramie Tunsil and was too scared of him with a bong on his face. And then. So Eli Apple reached for him because he didn't want to trade down because Jerry doesn't know how. And I think this guy had a very nice rookie year. Actually usurped DRC as the starting cornerback. Had a really nice rookie year. And Pro Football Focus actually came out and said he may be the cornerback that takes the jump in year two. I'm like, okay, that's pretty good. Much like every Giants player regressed in 2017. That includes Landon Collins. Landon Collins did not have the all pro type of year he had 2016, so made the Pro Bowl, another type of year that he had the year before. Now, my man Dan Duggan actually did a really nice piece about Eli Apple just last week for NJ.com, where he kind of went in and Eli Apple was raised by his mother and his stepfather and his brothers and sisters, and basically his mother, Corey, who I know you've read a lot about, you talked a lot about, who works for ESPN now. And
I know she worked for ESPN.
Oh, Annie Apple, sure you did. Remember she became like a Twitter thing, and then she worked for NFL's Countdown, and she did all this stuff. And she became a little bit of a celebrity.
Okay.
So she got sick with some sort of cancer, I believe. Mm-hmm. And the two of them, just her and her son, not her other children, kind of like separated from everybody else.
Interesting.
And it kind of caused a lot of friction between the family and whatnot. And Eli Apple, it may have affected him on the field. And certainly his personality winds up getting benched multiple times, gets called out in a film session for not trying.
Yeah.
As other Giants, Janoris Jenkins got called out and is like, you know what, I need to be better. And DRC says, I need to be better. And all these other guys. Eli Apple basically stormed out of the building, threatened to never come back, and then went to the media to say there's an uprising against Ben McAdoo. Not that there's not, but this is just the facts.
Yeah.
Comes back, Eli Apple does, returns to practice, and... Then is inactive, starts tweeting in game, which you never want to do, obviously.
No, that sucks.
You start tweeting in game, and then returns to the active roster last week, week 16. Does not play a single defensive snap. Instead, undrafted rookies off the street. So you were pointing out yesterday, Matt. They're seeing all this time for the Giants as Eli Apple plays special teams. Their first round pick just 2 years ago, banished from the defense because, let's be honest, I don't think any of his teammates like him. So they would hang him out to dry in every which way if he played defense. And now the safety, one of the leaders of the defense, calls him a cancer on offense. What the F is going on in East Rutherford, New Jersey?
It's been a season of dysfunction in East Rutherford. It probably has been building up for a few years now and all came to a head this season. You see that defense that was all-world, Super Bowl-type defense, championship defense, like break and buckle, obviously. The three-and-out nature of the offense didn't make it any better. With that being said, There needs to be some changes in that locker room. Obviously, when you lose, a cancer like this will start to spread throughout the locker room. I'm sure it's much more than just Eli Apple, though. So maybe he's the guy who's getting the, you know, most of the attention behind what happened. But I'm quite sure there's other gentlemen, other New York Giants inside that locker room that are just as big of a problem as Eli Apple is. It's probably time for a change of scenario for Apple, and it's probably time for him to grow up, too.
If I'm a Giant fan and I'm looking big picture, this 27th season might be a blessing. You got rid of McAdoo. He's gone. They did nothing to address the offensive line, the running game, major holes. The defense last year was, as Corey said, really stepped up and got better and better as the year went on. But the offense outside of Odell was what? Nothing. It was Odell Beckham Jr., and that's it, really. So now they're going to get a really nice draft pick, possibly get that franchise quarterback, get a new coach, a new GM, a new direction, and maybe start addressing some of the needs. And look, if Eli Apple is not going to grow up, I mean, I know we have their athletes, their people, they have personal problems as well. But look, you have a job to do. And there's only a select few people that get to do this job. So, you know, if you're not going to be man enough to do it, or you're going to bitch and complain, somebody else is going to take your job. So I think, I'm not a Giant fan, but I think in the long run, this might have been the best thing to happen to the Giants.
You know, probably so, because I think what was obviously very, very clear was that this Giants team was, you know, Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid, and it needs to be ripped off, and it needs to be completely patched up in not a haphazard fashion, but totally redone. And I think when a new general manager comes in, whoever it is, and I do applaud the Giants as a Giants fan for not rushing to hire a general manager before the season's over so you can talk to some of these other candidates with Philadelphia, with New England, certainly, with Green Bay. And he's going to have to figure this out, especially with a guy like Eli Apple. There's going to, what I do like is, like, there's no loyalty there, right? Like, if everybody says this dude is a cancer, and he talks to this guy, he's like, I don't want anything to do with him, he's going to be gone. They're not going to mess around.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Let me ask you as a Giant fan.
Yes, sir.
You could get the package of Lewis Riddick and Josh McDaniels.
Done.
You sign off on it, right?
Done. Today. Although I think that when it was Lewis Riddick, I'm not sure if they wanted to hire him, I don't know why they didn't yet. Mm-hmm. No, if he was the guy, maybe.
Wait, off season.
I'm sorry, why?
No,
why
but
not?
See, I'm
a you want to make sure nobody, he doesn't interview anywhere else and you get your guy.
I think you hire him in the offseason. I think you
one week.
Yeah, but I'm of the belief that if somebody impresses you,
you
if
do
he
it.
Really is that guy, you hire him.
I agree.
How do you know they didn't tell him that? That's what I'm saying. Like, okay, where you're.
Yeah, but then that could open what the spot. He's not going to sit there and say, okay, yeah, they.
If he's your guy, you don't want him going on ESPN and spouting information. You want him to keep it to yourself.
Obviously, I don't think he would do that, though.
No,
what if there's another organization that comes to him?
Of course.
And says, you know what, they interview him and they're like blown away. And he's our guy. You know, we're not letting you leave the building without signing a contract. We want you to be, I'm just saying.
I completely agree. And listen, as I just said, not hypocritically speaking, I want them to interview candidates for other teams. I think they would do a disservice not to. But if Lewis Riddick was their guy, and the same goes for Gettleman, who I don't want, but...
You don't want him, bro.
No, I don't want him. But the same goes for him. If he's their guy, what are you waiting for? You know? What, like, if he blew you away in the meeting, you that's it. You found your guy. Obviously, that didn't happen. I do go back to the Yankees managerial search where Aaron Boone obviously blew them away. It did take him another week or two to hire him, but they obviously blew him away because they did one more interview after that, and that was Carlos Beltran, and eventually hired Aaron Boone. Maybe it'll be a similar situation for the Giants. I'm not sure. But they'll have a new general manager and manager or general manager and a coach. I'd say the next 2 weeks. Do you think by wild card weekend they'll have a general manager?
I think it's going to happen sooner than later.
Yeah,
I think they're going to let this drag on to like the Super Bowl and stuff. I know you, like you said, you want to be able to interview other people, but I think they have their short list, and we'll see. But I think it happens sooner than later.
Yeah, I think so too, and I'm excited for it because the Giants obviously need a full and entire revamp. No more Band-Aids, no more stupid decisions, just being better. That's what they need.
Excuse me.
The Giants are making you cough up a lung.
Yeah, that's how bad they stink. They make me choke.
Or maybe he's allergic to the sweater because it's very messy.
I will say this, Corey. You talk about the dysfunction with the Giants. What is? Why is Jason Garrett's job in jeopardy? Like, why was that a thing yesterday?
I don't understand that at all.
I don't get it.
No, I don't understand it at all. I'm happy with the job that Jason Garrett has been doing the past couple years. Don't get me wrong. There was a time when I wanted Jason Garrett gone from this organization. But Jason Garrett has learned a lot. Jason Garrett, in my opinion, is one of the best coaches in the NFL. He's a great motivator. He has the right staff around him. The players love him. So I don't see no reason for Jason Garrett to be on the hot seat. That makes no sense to me. This was a team that was 12-4 last year that didn't play six games without their best players this year, had a lot of injuries. Now, there needs to be an upgrade in that wide receiver core. Dez Bryant is no longer a elite number one wide receiver. He needs another piece to go with him. I think the loss of Bryce Butler is bigger to this team. I understand Bryce Butler is not a player that you would think about, but I think it was bigger because Bryce Butler's ability to stretch the field, I think they missed that.
And potentially so. I agree they definitely need another playmaking wide receiver. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's talk about some of the players to let you down. We're going to go on YouTube, and we'll talk about that Eagles-Raiders game. It was such a disaster for fantasy owners. We'll talk about that, and we'll do it over the next 2 hours. Roto Experts rolls on right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Welcome inside Studio 34. This is the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. This is Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Welcome inside our Midtown Manhattan studio. And yesterday was such a celebration. We were excited. We had fun. We talked about our chips. Now we have to get a little negative. Corey.
Yeah.
You were trying to defend your Flex League championship.
Yeah, I tried to defend my Flex League championship. It didn't go down that way. But if you follow Billy Hayes on Twitter, he retweeted it for everybody to see. So, you know, he's upset that I only won one championship.
Well, that's not his business.
I'm not tripping off of that.
Did Billy, like, welcome you to his humble?
I mean, that's my guy. You know what I'm saying? It's like, he's trying to make a name for himself. I understand.
Now, like I was saying, You tried to defend your championship.
Yeah, it didn't work.
It didn't happen.
I got the crap beat out of me too.
I'd rather lose that way though.
Yeah. Than one of the losses like Truck had. Yeah. I'd rather just get it out the way. You know, just kick my ass and get it out the way.
So, what I wanted to get into was what happened. Who let you down?
Todd Gurley, by not being on my team, and by going up against him. That was the start of it, but I'll be honest with you. I was the stiff that played Nick Foles. I kind of felt that Foles, you know, I bought into the hype. I bought into the narrative. I'll be the first to admit that. But, I mean, this team right here, outside of Kareem Hunt and Ezekiel Elliott, then I obviously didn't have a Zeke all year. But, you know, I had guys like Jimmy White and stuff like that where I wasn't being destroyed by not having that second running back. But really the wide receiver crew did a big part of helping carry this team throughout the course of the season. And I think if you're looking at it right now, five wide receivers in the flex, you can start up to five wide receivers. My five wide receivers combined scored 26 fantasy points. They averaged 5 points a person.
That's no bueno.
No, it's not.
That's
you're not
no going to bueno
cut it like that. I got six from Dez. I got four from Brandon Cooks. I got nine from Jarvis Landry. I had to play Kendall Wright because Deshaun Jackson was out. So I got six from him. Mind you, Ted Ginn puts 19 on my bench. Wouldn't have made a difference, though. I just would have lost by 70. And then obviously, the big one being the donut from Mr. Michael Crabtree. The Crabtree donut is going to affect his draft stock next year. I'm telling you that right now. People are not going to forget that. It was the last game of the year. People are going to be very disgusted, and he's still going to continue to be a fourth, fifth-round guy when he probably should be a third-round guy.
All three of those guys that you mentioned, Dez Bryant, Jarvis Landry, Brandon Cooks, we are going to get into here throughout the show. But I wanted to start with Crabtree because it's exactly the reason you brought up. Both him and Alshon Jeffrey in the championship give you big, fat donuts. And I'm going
to
say this.
Tried to glaze me.
And pitch if you had both.
You very well may have. That is a very easy thing to have.
Probably would have been hard to get to the championship with those two guys, though.
Why?
Unless you had Gurley, it didn't make a difference.
Yeah. Alshon Jeffrey was that nice year.
Hunt Ingram.
Alshon Jeffrey's had a nice year.
No, he was straight. He was straight.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Pretty damn good tight end.
These two guys end up with zeros on Monday Night Football. That, I mean, it was, that is as bad as an unsettling as humanly possible.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it worked out good.
It worked out excellent.
Because, I mean, like I said, as I mentioned yesterday, I was just trying to get as much cash as possible to accumulate it. And the Super Consolation, I was worried. I had a 47-point lead, but he had a Jai. He had Crabtree. I figured Crabtree was going to get a bunch of targets, probably that touchdown or two. And a Jai was kind of trending like this could be a breakout game for him. I wouldn't have been surprised by that. And a Jai scored early, and Crabtree did nothing. I mean, he dropped that touchdown pass, and that was really it.
Yeah, it was a disaster for Michael Crabtree, for Alshon Jeffrey. Big, fat zeros. Like, I can't remember, and maybe it's just me, Corey, but I cannot remember, like, the zeros happening. Twice. The two players in one game on Monday Night Football in the championship.
That's hard. I remember a couple years ago, a Week 16, where Tony Romo, maybe the first or second play of the game, throwing a pass, hit his hand on the helmet of a Philadelphia Eagle player.
Right.
And that was, I think that might have been the last game of the season. And he took and a lot of Romo owners took a donut that night.
Okay.
But nothing like this, just a poor performance where you have two guys that were not bench players, that two guys in lineups give you a donut. That's crazy.
I don't get why the Eagles are going to rest Foles, possibly. He should be playing.
No, he should. He needs to play.
He desperately needs to play, I think. Like, absolutely needs the work. You talked about draft value for both Michael Crabtree and Alshon Jeffrey here. Donuts on Monday Night Football. Where do they go next year, Corey?
They don't get much of a boom. I definitely...
Who'd you rather have?
Next year?
Yeah.
Probably Michael Crabtree.
I think I would say Alshon Jeffrey.
Why?
If Wentz... I mean, how long is Wentz going to be out?
That's the question.
Late in the year. If it's 9 to 12 months, he could miss a substantial part.
When we did the inside injuries special that we did over the holidays, one of the players I asked Tracy about was... Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz had a clean ACL tear, and they do think Carson Wentz would probably push right up against training camp, right up against opening day, but he would not be out past the first month of the season. He should be pushing right up against the start of training camp, Carson Wentz.
I mean, if I got to choose between the two, I'm probably going to go with Alshon as well. If, you know, just for the quarterback, the offense, and he's kind of like Crabtree, the red zone guy, big, can get up and get the ball. I mean, Crabtree drops a ton of passes, too. I mean,
the thing I don't like about it is he never really went off at any point this year. Like, Crabtree has the potential to go off. He can give you a 3-touchdown game where he dropped 40 fantasy points. Alshon tends to always stay in that 12 to 18 type range. There's no real big upside with Alshon. At least that's the way I look at it. I'm about to pull up his...
I got it here now. Alshon Jeffrey finishes the fantasy season with this. 56, 7, 81, and 9. Okay, fair enough. Crabtree finishes the season with 56, 601, and 8. That is a better year for Alshon Jeffrey.
And it's a better year than Alshon Jeffrey. But Alshon Jeffrey...
Barely. I mean, listen, it was one more touchdown for Alshon Jeffrey, the same exact amount of receptions, and about 180 more yards. Basically the same guy.
Basically the same guy, and they'll probably go back-to-back in drafts next year in that 4th, 5th round range.
But Jeffrey is 3 years younger.
Yeah, Jeffrey also, he's not been as beat up as Michael Crabtree has in years past also. Now,
Jeffrey's been beat up.
And that's what I'm saying. Crabtree hasn't been beat up as Jeffrey has.
Okay.
In week nine versus the Broncos, he put up 26 fantasy points. He put up 22 in week two. Other than that, it kind of was like in that same range. But Crabtree, I think, may have had those more of the big. I'm looking at 194 fantasy points for Alshon Jeffrey. Michael Crabtree, I want to see exactly his fantasy points.
It's got to be close.
Michael Crabtree fantasy points is 167. So, yeah, he did have a better year.
Yeah.
Now, he was suspended for a game, too.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about Jeffrey in the second half of the season from, you know, weeks 8 through 15, it was pretty much 15 points every week.
Yeah.
It was consistent there. And, you know, it doesn't always have to be 27 points. We all want that upside and all that. But, like, Michael Thomas kind of got dogged this year for being extremely reliable week in and week out. And there's something to be said where you can get those 15 points week in and week out, especially from your guy that's not your number one.
I'll say this. I look at Alshon Jeffrey's numbers. After week two, he did not have a single game where he caught more than 6 passes. In fact, he only caught 6 passes one time, twice all season, once after week two. Other than that, it was basically 2, 3, 4, and 5 all year long. The touchdowns, as Matt mentioned, really consistent in the second half of the year. He had touchdowns in 4 consecutive games. He had touchdowns in fact, 6 out of 7 games, and 6 out of the last 8 games, of course, the donut in week 16 crushed you. But the touchdowns were so damn consistent here for Alshon Jeffrey over the year. When it comes to Michael Crabtree, not that much. You had this middle of the year where it was a lot of zeros. Now, he caught more.
Crabtree had 8 touchdowns. Crabtree played 12 games.
It's true.
Alshon Jeffrey played 16.
It's true.
Played 4 less games. You feel what I'm saying? So that's why I said they were basically the same guy. Crabtree had the game against the Broncos that he missed. He had the game against the Broncos. He got thrown out. He was suspended the next week. And then he had another game throughout the course of the season where he didn't play. And he might as well not have played this past weekend.
Yeah, I'm not extremely excited to draft either one of these guys.
They're wide receiver threes.
You know, if they're going,
that's okay,
if they're going in that 4th, 5th round, that's where, you know, if there's a good quarterback on the board, I'd probably scoop up a quarterback.
Let's say 4th, 5th round, and you're looking for a wide receiver in that round range. Let's say a Juju is there. Would you take Juju over these two players?
I bet you people will, because people want the young, flashy, exciting guys. He's 21 years old, and you're going to think Juju can explode.
In the NFFC, Juju's going to be a hot ticket next year.
He's going to be a hot. If Ben comes back.
Yeah.
If Ben doesn't come back, then we don't know what happens.
Assuming Ben is back, assuming Todd Haley is back, the whole package is there, Juju is going to go higher than these guys. And I'm going to make the same argument, I think, this year or next year than I made this year. There's only so much to go around in the Pittsburgh offense. Like, Antonio Brown's got to get his. Le'Veon Bell's got to get his. Juju's not going to go off in every game. Here, at least with Alshon Jeffrey, theoretically, he should be the number one option for Carson Wentz.
He didn't look like that this year.
He had 9 touchdowns.
He just didn't look like that. Zach Ertz was the number one option.
He was.
That's the person I would invest in next year.
Alshon Jeffrey still had 9 touchdowns.
Wentz and Ertz, 35, 34 points.
Absolutely. Michael Crabtree, number one red zone option for Derek Carr. What is Juju? It's been robust. Take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to the king, Scott Angle.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Back back with you, Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Every morning, 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern Time. The pregame show for the Roto Experts is Fantasy Sports Today. And it's hosted by my good friend and winner of the Greta Street Tavern Industry League. He won his own league and won the overall points. He crushed it this year. It's my good friend, the King, Scott Angle, who joins us right now. What's going on, King?
Wow, that's quite an intro, Greg. Thanks a lot.
It's all truthful, my man.
Yes, thank you very much.
You got it, Scotty. Heard you co-hosting On Target yesterday. That was good stuff.
Yeah, I'll be on Target today again with Jake from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern.
Nice. Will we see you, Jake, and Chris again?
It might be. I believe it's going to be Chris Pavone again, which Chris always plays the good role of a caller. He's always got a glorified caller. He's always got a lot of questions for us.
Well, that makes it fun, right? Yeah. Questions of the experts.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's what we're here for, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Now, people do have questions, Scott, because some people, the season just isn't over yet. And thankfully, Joe Galina, RotoExperts.com, has you covered for Week 17. We'll get into it on the show over the next 2 days, so certainly talk about it on the BFFs as well. But now in Week 17, we have to kind of turn the page from the past. There's some teams that could rest players. There's some teams that may try some of the younger players out to try and figure out. Trying to predict what these teams to do is not an easy task, Scotty.
Yeah, if you go to rotoexperts.com, Joe Galina has his Fab Finds. Jake also is doing lineup rankings. Brandon Murchison is doing sneaky plays. So we got you for Week 17. But this is really why you don't want to play in Week 17, because there's so much unpredictability. Like, Detroit came out and says they're not going to rest their starters. You know, I don't think anybody was wondering about that. But you have to wonder, if DeMarco Murray wasn't injured, how much more will we see of Derrick Henry? How much more are we going to see of Jakeem Grant this week? Are they going to continue to throw the ball to him because Jarvis Landry might be gone next year?
Yeah, it's true. Jarvis Landry may be gone next year. These players, as somebody was saying yesterday, I believe, these players, I think it was actually Pavone on Target, are they're playing for jobs. And when you're playing in Week 17, like our buddy Chris is, You're trying to find not just teams that have something to play for, but players that have something to play for. And you mentioned Keelan Cole, who was picked up universally last week. This is a dude that's trying to make a mark for the future. And I saw a list of all the Jaguars wide receivers that are hurt or out or whatever. They're top three guys. Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, Allen Hurns, all hurt. Their middle three guys, like Rashad Green, a couple other guys, all hurt. Jalen Strong at the bottom of the roster, catches a touchdown and tears his ACL, hurt. When you look at Jacksonville, a team that has already announced that they are going full throttle this week because it's a team that hasn't been in the playoffs in a decade, and they really need to play well after the beating they took at the hands of the San Francisco 49ers. Jacksonville is a team that, if I can, I am looking to for Week 17 goodness, Scotty, from Blake Bortles to Keelan Cole to Dede Westbrook to Leonard Fournette. I'm looking at all these guys, guy, because I believe there is value here with Jacksonville.
I think that's fair to say that, you know, they want to get into good game. They can't go into the playoffs on this kind of negative momentum, if you will. So Keelan Cole has played really well the last few weeks. Dede Westbrook's been unreliable. You never know what Mercedes Lewis, but you have to expect that there's something of a good floor for Fournette. And whether in a game or out, Blake Bortles has proved that he can put up pretty good numbers. I think against Tennessee, you probably expected at least 2 touchdown passes.
Yeah, I think both of these guys, as I mentioned, there's some value here just because we know they're going to play, and especially the team they're playing. There is a shot, Scott, and the Jacksonville may want to rethink this. There's a chance Jacksonville and Tennessee play each other 2 weeks in a row here, and that would be the second and third time they play this season, division rivals. And if things break the way that they very well could break, we could see Jacksonville-Tennessee again. How does that change anything for the Jacks?
That they may not want to, but you think like the first reaction to that is that they don't want to show everything they have. But
correct.
These teams have played each other already this season, and Jacksonville, they have other film on Jacksonville. So I don't know if there's too much that they can bluff with. I think these teams know each other too well for that to be a factor.
On the other side of that game, as I said, it's the Tennessee Titans who are fighting for a playoff spot. They win. they're in. So I look to Tennessee, and one of the names that comes to my mind, I can't believe I'm going to do this again this year. I'm shocked. We did this like 16 weeks in a row, Scotty. And finally, in week 16, it became a thing. That was Corey Davis, 6-for-91, the best game of his career. If you're playing in week 16, can you go to the waiver wire and pick up Corey Davis?
No, not for week 17. Facing Jacksonville, if they're going to have their starting corners out there, I think it's just way too risky. There are going to be a lot of risks in week 17, but Corey Davis, good game last week, but the matchup is way tougher this week.
Yeah, the matchup is extremely, extremely tough for Jacksonville, for the Tennessee Titans. But the other side of that is that San Francisco is able to kind of go up and down the field there. Maybe Tennessee could kind of do the same?
It's not out of the realm of possibility, but then again, Marcus Mariota hasn't looked good this year.
No.
And Corey Davis, until last week, what was he doing? He was doing nothing. I think it's just too much of a reaction the last week.
Yeah, all right. I'm just looking at waiver wire finds and seeing if there's anybody out there like that that could be successful. Another name that Joe Galina mentions inside RotoExperts.com is at the tight end position, and it's Antonio Gates. The Chargers are still playing for something. Last week, we saw the renaissance Antonio Gates in place of Hunter Henry, who is out for the season after having a kidney injury. So, given what Antonio Gates did last week, given that the Chargers are still playing for something, how badly do you want to get Antonio Gates in your lineup?
Yeah, I think he's a good play for this week. The Raiders obviously vulnerable to the tight end. We saw what Zach Ertz did last week. And if he has to, Phillip Rivers has to make money throws this week, and he still trusts Antonio Gates very heavily.
Yeah, I love Antonio Gates. I'm somebody that kind of went back and forth with tight ends all year long. Because there was never someone reliable. Right now, Antonio Gates, after last week, I don't want to say he's reliable, but I know he's going to play all these downs. Like, I believe Antonio Gates is top 10 tight end for week 17.
Yeah, that's not crazy. It sounded crazy 2 weeks ago. We thought he was finished, but he showed up last week. And, you know, this is a good matchup. The Chargers need this game in a very bad way.
They do. In order to have any shot at making the playoffs, they have to win. After starting 0-4 on the year, trying to become the first team since the Chargers about 25 years ago, give or take. As I look at Jake Seeley's PPR tight end rankings available now at rotoexperts.com, he actually has Antonio Gates ranked 15th, which is 7 spots lower than the consensus. Consensus has him at a top 10 tight end this week, and I'm with the consensus there. Another name that Matt and I were just talking about, who was the best tight end in the fantasy playoffs. You know who that is, Scotty, who is the best tight end in the fantasy playoffs?
Best tight end in the fantasy playoffs.
Number one.
It wasn't Ertz, because I believe he missed a game,
mm-hmm,
right?
Correct.
Recently.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's not Kyle Rudolph. It's not Jesse James. Going through my head in the teams out here. Eric Ebron.
Eric Ebron, your guy, Scott, number one. And thanks to Eric Ebron, you, sir, are about to win a bet.
Yeah, yep, Scotty, he's going to save you a lot of money. Unless Ebron scores 4 touchdowns, we're going to push on that bet. The Wagyu beef order has been canceled.
Well, here's the thing, though. If I win the bet, I don't know if that's fair because Henry got injured.
No. We said injuries count for sure.
We said injuries count?
Oh, yeah. You're good, Scott.
You're good.
Oh, okay. Well, Henry probably would have won if he didn't get injured. So although he was going to order a porterhouse, you know, I probably won't go too crazy since he got injured.
Well, I believe it's even.
Unless
it was a dual bet.
Touchdowns. So if he scores 4 touchdowns, you deserve it.
I totally agree with that. It'll be interesting to see if Matthew Stafford plays. I know Jim Caldwell is clearly fighting for his job, so he's going to want Stafford out there this week. The Lions do have nothing to play for here at all, so you're going to want to make sure.
Again.
What do you mean again? They played Week 17 Sunday Night Football for a chance to playoffs last year.
Yeah, they never go anywhere. That's my point.
All right.
Hey, Scotty, how are you feeling? You got to be feeling pretty strong these last couple of mornings coming off of the fantastic finish you had in the GST, taking down the league and the overall.
It hasn't sunken in yet. Quite. It's almost like when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, and then one morning I'll sit here and it'll just wash over me. probably when I get my trophy in the mail.
I'm sure it will be the check that comes in the mail that'll make it more reality for you, Scott, not the trophy.
I think I'll get both around the same time. So just seeing one or the other, it'll wash over me, you know?
I'm going to
get a nice-looking Lombardi for this.
Yeah, okay.
Get yourself a new Kangaroo hat.
You can get yourself a new Kangaroo hat, too, Scotty.
I do like the look, Scott.
Day shift.
Yeah, out of day shift.
Oh, God.
Scotty's going to be making it rain.
He's going to be making it rain, and that is scary. Maybe you and Sean can go visit together.
No, he's not coming with me. That's daddy's vice.
Oh, man.
Who knows? Maybe go on a vacation to see a NASCAR race or something like
that. There you go. That'd be cool.
Lots of things I can do with this.
That'd be very, very cool. One last question. It doesn't actually involve Week 17, but we're just discussing about it on YouTube, and I wanted to get your opinion. We've got a minute here, Scott. Next year, who'd you rather have, Alshon Jeffrey or Michael Crabtree?
They're pretty much the same player to me.
Right.
But with Carson Wentz as the quarterback, I'm probably going to go Jeffrey.
Yeah, I get that.
It's very, 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 very close for me because...
They're very close.
I can't see Crabtree being better than he is, whereas Jeffrey, I feel like he was banged up all year, and if he's in better health next year, there might be more yardage upside than the Crabtree.
My only problem is Alshon Jeffrey is always banged up, though. But I agree. I think I'd rather Jeffrey than Crabtree next
Flip
year.
A coin.
Yeah, I agree. It was the same thing this year, too. They went back-to-back this year, and the same goes next year for these two guys. We'll take a break. You'll hear Scott again tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Eastern, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt and I talk a little baseball next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
More guys to get to that let you down in 2017. There's been so much talk, Matt, made of the Monday night guys. Some guys got overlooked. I don't want to do that. We are a fair society here on the Roto Experts. I want to make sure that we hit everybody. We hit all the notes. So we're going to do that coming up in hour number two. We're also going to talk to you at 844-843-6879. We'll do that all, of course, next hour. I wanted to get a little bit of baseball in here today since we didn't get to talk any yesterday, given that it was a Championship Tuesday. And on the big news, there's not much going on right now. It's kind of been quiet around Christmas. CC Sabathia officially re-signed with the Yankees. What is his fantasy value in 2018?
It's more of the back end of the rotation, like an arm to have as... You know, that 5-6 starter type. AL only's got more relevance, obviously. Look, last season he became more of that crafty veteran that, you know, that the left-handers get tagged with. And, it paid off for him. I mean, I'm just not excited to really draft him. I'll take some maybe risk on some other arms. But, hey, look, for the Yankees, I don't have a problem with it. Like, it was $10 million.
1 year, $10 million.
I get it. You know, not somebody I'm really targeting, but, you know, if you just need to fill another arm, if he can give you another 150 innings or so and pitch the way he pitched last season, hey, in today's era where, the average ERA is close to 450, if you get a 370 ERA from a guy with 150 innings, that's valuable.
Absolutely. CC Sabathia, never somebody I'm really interested in drafting anymore. But he was valuable last year. He had a really nice year. He's probably, at this point in his career, a better major league player than a fantasy player. But there's value there.
And he's on a good team. So, I mean, wins are a category still in most leagues. I know some play with, quality starts, which I'm vehemently against. But that's another story. So, on team concept.
I play with both.
Yeah, team concept and stuff. He could possibly... win, you know, close to 15 games.
He could. He could, in fact, win close to those 15 games. And the other big news coming out of baseball right now is the big rumor with the Cincinnati Reds and the San Francisco Giants. The Giants have been working all offseason to upgrade that offense and to particularly upgrade the outfield. They made the big trade for Evan Longoria. And their entire outfield is not set. From Denard Span traded away to Tampa Bay. Hunter Pence, I don't think they really want an everyday role anymore. And left field is kind of up for grabs. Like I said, their outfield is a mixed bag at the moment. And one name that we have heard consistently mentioned with them is Billy Hamilton. And J.P. Morosi, MLB Network, talked about yesterday how the Reds and the Giants, there are still trade talks ongoing between them. We heard a little buzz about the winter meetings with Hamilton to the Giants, a little more now. So our conversations are ongoing. What would you think if that happened, Billy Hamilton to the San Francisco Giants?
Look, that's a big outfield. I think that's an upgrade for them.
From a fielding perspective.
Yeah. And, you know, even from a team concept, you get a guy that can run like that. I mean, it is the elite of the elite as far as speed goes. But they still need that corner outfield. They were tied to Ozuna, Stanton, Piscotty. I mean, I would have even... Look, Piscotty ended up with Oakland. I think he would have been a nice fit for San Francisco to take a shot on this guy. He's still young. He had some, you know, family problems last year, issues and stuff like
still
that.
Still is, though, unfortunately.
I honestly, for Billy Hamilton, I think the Yankees should get Billy Hamilton. You put him sandwiched in there. He's a hell of a defensive player.
He is. I don't know if the Yankees have a spot for him at the moment.
I mean, I would play him in center, and then you could always move.
Aaron Hicks.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. For me, that's what I would look at. I would kind of think. But the Giants, if they get Hamilton, they still need a bat in left field. So that's something they definitely need to address.
For Billy Hamilton, though, for his particular fantasy value, how would it change him going from Cincinnati to San Francisco?
Well, I mean, he's just got to get the at-bats. If he gets the plate appearances, he's going to steal bases. We see it regularly with 450, he steals 60. So if he can ever get, you know, consistently year after year, put up that 650 plate appearances and stuff, you're looking at a guy that can possibly get towards 90 stolen bases.
Last year for Billy Hamilton, he had played in 139 games, had 633 plate appearances last year, stole 59 bases. 3 years in a row, 4 years in a row, he has stolen over 55 bases for you. Take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little NFL football, guys, that let you down. All the top stories as well from this week. Roto Experts, hour number two, comes your way next.